We're going to play a game, and I want you to rate your AI pictures.
Yeah, 10. Hot. Oh my God, what the heck? Oh, or what is that?
This is my vibe right here.
Really?
All right, today's episode, we got news, we got AI, we got OnlyFans, we got marketing, we got Reddit stories coming up.
Do you have updates this week?
So updates, we got this. What is this?
I don't really have any updates, but this was just like my interesting TikTok of the week.
All right.
So apparently this King Edward, he had this chair made so that he could, with relative ease, get down with like two girls at the same time. But they're like, historians cannot figure out how exactly this is intended to be used. And I'm like, this looks very plain to me. He's standing on the pad. One girl's in doggy on the bottom and one's got her legs back and the stirrups on the top.
So you're saying that the girl on the bottom would have her feet right here?
Yeah, but her ass facing him and her head down at the front.
Yeah, and then the other girl would be right here.
On her back with her feet in the
stirrup. And then he would be standing right here.
Yeah, because part of why this was created was because he was a big boy.
Well, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
That's my guess. I don't know.
All right, moving on. We got this story of the week. When did this come out? May 20.
Yeah, this was a couple days ago, and I saw people talking about this on TikTok saying that she was suing OpenAI.
Well, for people that don't know, what this is about is OpenAI. So there's all these softwares that can basically clone people's voices and stuff like that. And so apparently there's an AI voice that is being used that sounds just like Scarlett Johansson, and she got upset, and it's a big thing now.
Yeah, but so, like, what's your opinion about this? Do you feel like these celebrities and people are going to be able to... There's no way for them to be like, no one can use my voice because it's just so easy to do. Like, well, people are going to do it.
The thing is, like, no matter what voice you create, it's going to sound like somebody.
Yeah.
And so, like, if they're using in the context, because what everybody's worried about is, like, deep fakes. But if it's just, like, a voice alone... that's like not that uncommon sounding. Like there's a difference between someone like Scarlett Johansson versus like Morgan Freeman or something. Like if you make a Morgan Freeman voice, everybody's instantly going to recognize that. But like right here, it says there's, you know, he denies there's any connection between Johansson and its Sky voice. We cast the voice actor behind Sky's voice before any outreach to Miss Johansson, which is like, okay, so you're hiring a voice actor, but then you got to go figure out who she sounds like and ask permission from them. Like, what? Like, that seems fucking stupid. All right, so we're going to get into some other AI stuff here in a minute. But so it came up in the group today, in the OnlyFans group. We were talking about, because Mia was basically asking about something, you know, a type of content she wanted to make. And she was asking about, like, what if it gets sent to the red pill and the conservatives and all that and getting dragged. It reminded me of the show that we were just watching recently.
Oh, yeah. This just came out this week. Ashley Madison on Netflix.
So anyway, it tells the story of that website, Ashley Madison, which is like the site you go to if you're trying to have an affair and stuff like that. And it reminded me of this because... Ashley Madison, it was kind of telling the story of like how they kind of rose to power and stuff. And it kind of goes through the process. And in the beginning, they started the site and they couldn't really get any users and it was hard and all this stuff. And then they ended up bringing on this other guy who was like a lawyer, and they sort of pivoted their strategy into like exactly that. Like, how can we get dragged as, you know, in mainstream media? So the entire strategy became like, you know, getting on mainstream media and having all these big news outlets being like, this unethical, you know, unethical company is, you know, causing families to break up and destroying society and doing all this stuff. And so it reminded me of this because it's like this website as soon as they started getting dragged and that became their primary strategy, they just shot up to whatever it was, hundreds of millions of users, because it's like in the OnlyFans business, every time you get a video that goes viral in the red pill pocket, you know, the entire comment section fills up with hate.
Which is just a really good way to think about it. You know, if you're someone who's like triggered by seeing the comments or whatever, just remember that that's actually helping you. Like it's valuable to you that they commented.
Yeah, because like with the Ashley Madison thing, it's like this is a terrible thing and all this stuff. But then like all the husbands and wives that are watching this, they're like, yeah, this sucks. And then these guys are terrible. And then as soon as nobody's looking, AshleyMadison.com, they go sign up for an account.
Yeah.
It's funny that the red pill has so much hate, but they're actually the ones perpetuating the cycle. So yes. So speaking of getting dragged, so I came across this little clip right here.
A Florida mom at odds with other parents over a controversial decal on her car.
She says there's nothing illegal about advertising her OnlyFans account, but it's causing a stir at her kid's private Christian school. Janice has a story from the newsroom.
This is what I am looking at when I pull up behind one of these vehicles.
Facebook messages, complaints, and TikToks.
You ban a vehicle.
Taking the front row pew at a private Christian school.
Not just a tiny, tiny little emblem on the back of a car. It is taking up the entire windshield, back windshield of two vehicles.
Lexi Thomas is a parent at Liberty Christian who wants this ad on another parent's car to stay off campus. That other parent is Michelle Klein, and what she has is an OnlyFans.
Well, it's definitely linked to, you know, explicit content, adult content for sure.
Klein, who goes by Piper Fawn, says OnlyFans is her business and way of life.
My husband and I had this, you know, little wild, you know, behind closed doors lifestyle that we've now decided to share.
But not all parents want what Klein is sharing. Shared at school, with some moms complaining to Klein and the school, telling her not to use the main entrance and instead drop her kids off across the street.
I was forced to have to, you know, take it off or not come on campus.
But parents at this private school say there's a simple solution if Klein wants to use the main drop-off.
Mm-hmm. Why not take the decal off?
And that would seem like an easy thing to say, for sure. But for me, you know, it supports my family. This provides a very comfortable way of life for us. And it's legal. You know, I pay taxes just like everyone else. But I'm not breaking the law. I just offended people.
Well, what I'm thinking when I'm watching this is like, okay, yeah, putting a giant sticker of your OnlyFans username on the back of your window, like, yeah, that's going to get you some fans. But the real strategy is exactly what she pulled off. She started getting covered by all these news outlets, and now all of a sudden there's millions and millions of people watching this news and seeing her. They just got her OnlyFans username right on the fucking window doing a commercial for it. It's like, goddamn. So, yeah, she's going to get dragged to fucking shit because the Red Pill's favorite argument is, you know, flexing their moral superiority and saying, oh, you're destroying society and blah, blah. So she's like driving her car to this Christian Catholic school to drop off her kids. Oh man, she's going to get fucking tore up for that, but she's going to make so much money. And then, so for the last little news story we got right here was this one I thought was kind of interesting. So it says former bricklayer started OnlyFans and cleared debt in 2 days, and basically goes on to explain this girl who's, you know, had a bricklayer job, and then she started posting, you know, creating content and ended up starting OnlyFans, made a bunch of money. And so we'll just check her account right here. And I thought this was interesting because there's a lot of creators that I see doing like these skilled trades that these types of accounts do extremely well. If it's bricklaying, if it's, you know, painting, if it's woodworking, if it's chopping wood, if it's baling hay, these sort of skilled trades, when a woman is doing it, the guys just love watching this kind of content. And so this is a thing that I just added to the OnlyFans Level Up group for the members in there. But this is basically a list of 45 OnlyFans niche ideas for traffic, which just covers all these different little niche accounts that creators are using to get a ton of views and a ton of traffic. But there's a few in here that are like the skilled trade type accounts. Yeah, let's just look at the painter one. This girl's basically just a painter, but goddamn, look at the views this girl's getting for doing this stuff. And this is like true for a lot of these skilled trades accounts. And I think for any woman who's like willing to kind of do man stuff, there's a huge opening there to just kill it. But yeah, like a lot of that stuff just works really good. But yeah, this one especially, survival bushcraft, guys love watching girls do this. This is just a really good niche, but that's why it's so good, because like not many women or females are willing to like do this. So the ones that are just killing it. Okay, this is stupid views. 568 million, 376 million, 299 million, 268 million. Like, what the hell? Okay, this one video, 568 million. Imagine if you got a million views every single day for a year straight and you wouldn't even come close to this one video.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's probably more views than I've gotten in the entirety of my OnlyFans career.
Exactly. You could post a video and get a million views every single day and not get as many views as this one video.
Get on your bush.
Oh, man.
By the way, if you want to join us in the OnlyFans Level Up community, that is where I share all of my best secrets and strategies for OnlyFans creators, many of which are hitting really big numbers, as you may have seen from various guests on this podcast. But either way, it's a great place to be if you want to network or learn all of the best secrets and strategies to grow your OnlyFans account. You can find all of that information with the link down in the description below. But for now, back to the podcast.
Another interesting one that I've been playing around with lately is there's this niche called AI lookbook, and all you do is basically create like a little slideshow of AI pictures, and these don't perform on Instagram Reels or TikTok very well, but there was a couple that if I actually had enough time to really play with it, I'm sure I could get a lot of these to take off. And all I did is the little office girl like AI fantasy thing. I'll just play it so you can see.
It was just another bustling day at the office. Sierra had noticed you looking particularly stressed. This isn't the first time you've caught her looking at you. Her unexpected interruption drew your attention away from the daunting workload. You looked up, clearly surprised, but quickly softened by the warmth of her smile. Sierra held up two cups of steaming coffee, your favorite kind from the new cafe downstairs, knowing well how the rich aroma could win over your senses. "I thought you could use a break," she said, sliding one of the cups across to you. The simple act seemed to build a small sanctuary around you two, filled with the comforting scent of freshly brewed coffee. "You really know how to make a coffee break worthwhile," you replied, your voice lighter now as you accepted the cup. You shared a moment of easy conversation. As your minute together dwindled, Sierra stood up, ready to return to her own tasks. Before walking away, she turned back with a cheeky remark, "Let me know if you need help with that report, or anything else." Her wink was both a promise and an invitation, leaving you with a lingering smile and the prospect of more delightful interruptions like this one.
Yeah, so not bad. 60,000 views. And it's not that hard to do. Like, it's pretty easy to make those little AI videos. But I wanted to play a game because I had like a bunch of leftover AI pictures of you.
Okay.
And so we're going to play a game, and I want you to rate the AI, your AI pictures from 1 to 10, 10 being the hottest or the best, and 1 being like the not good.
Okay.
And see what you rate yourself.
Okay, this is a 10. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, this is on a 7.
Oh, this is beautiful. Let me see. What are those fingernails? Or what is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there.
Okay, but this is beautiful. 10. Gorgeous.
I'll give it a 9. That's a good one.
Oh, I look timid in this one. She's a little shy.
Little shy, little flirty.
This is cute. I would wear this outfit in real life. This is 8.5.
Yeah, I'd give this one a 9.
Oh, I love these ones.
Oh, yeah, we got some video game characters. It's a character called Samus from Metroid. Millennial dudes will know who this is. So if you're dating a millennial dude, he'll instantly know what this
Look
is.
Look how lean I am here. Oh my goodness.
I'm going to give this one a 9.
Yeah, this is very cool. 9. Oh, this is my vibe.
Yeah, I really like this one.
Yeah, super cute. 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one a 10. Harley Quinn.
Oh, wow. She looks a lot like me in the face. How interesting.
There's definitely a Harley Quinn fetish out there, mm-hmm. but that look isn't my vibe. I'd give this one like a 7.5.
Yeah, this is 8 because it would be fun.
Tomb Raider fans. Okay. Lara Croft.
This looks very much like me, in my opinion. I have this outfit. I wear it.
This one, 9.5.
Yeah, 10. Hot.
All right.
This is, I love the outfit. I think that girl looks similar to me, but I do not like that light hair.
This is Ciri from The Witcher.
Really cute though. 9.
Yep, I give that one a 9.
Oh, this is like Game of Thrones vibe.
This is Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I definitely like the warrior, Sierra.
This is a 7 for me.
Oh, I'd give this one like an 8. This is my vibe right here. I like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is this?
Can't remember. But anyway, one of the girl with blue hair on League of Legends.
Yeah, it's really cute. I'd 9.
Yeah, I'd give this one a 10. Oh, this was another one. Same character.
I love that outfit. That looks really cute.
Yeah. 10. 10.
Very cute. But the bun on the head is like way too big. And her face looks a little weird. I don't know. I'd give this a 7.
Yeah, I'd give that one a 7. Maybe in the 7.5. So anyway, there you have it. I'll have the tool. If you guys want to like make a clone of yourself or like do these kind of little AI videos, I'll have the tool that I use to make these down in the description. All right. Last up, we got stories of the week. All right. Story number one. Am I the asshole for not appreciating the surprise getaway my husband planned?
So it goes, for the past month, my husband, 27 male, and I, 28 female, have been in a rut. We've been arguing about so many trivial things. Last week, he randomly asked me if I liked eating s'mores. I said, I don't care for them, and rarely do I ever crave them. He then asked me what I thought of cabins and camping. I told him I don't care for either, to be honest, and the only way I would go camping is if it was a glamping experience. He nodded and said, noted. Today he tells me to be ready and dressed by 4 p.m. because we have a date planned. I put on a cute outfit because all he told me was that we have a special date planned. Any other time, he said that the date usually involves us going out to a fancy restaurant. So I put on a skirt, some heels, and a top. He sees my outfit, doesn't say anything. The only thing I noticed that was odd was that he brought his backpack with him. I asked him why, and he said that he just wanted to put his hoodie somewhere in case it got cold later. We get into the car. 20 minutes into the drive, I ask him how far is the restaurant we're going to. He smiles and says, about an hour. I pull up my phone. I start responding to some work emails to kill time. And then when we arrive to our destination, I honestly got so upset. It was a super tiny trailer in the middle of the West Virginia woods. There was a small picnic table outside and just woods. I asked him what we were doing there, and he turns to me and says, surprise, we're having a couple's retreat. Do you like it? I walk inside the trailer, and mind you, my husband knows I'm extremely claustrophobic. There's no room inside this trailer. I start panicking because A, I need physical space. B, I'm in heels and a skirt in the middle of the woods. C, he packed his pajamas, his toothbrush, and a change of clothes, but didn't think to tell me I'd be needing anything for this date. At that point, I just blatantly asked him, have I ever expressed any interest in camping to you? He said no. And then I followed up with you know how much I hate small spaces. What made you think I would enjoy this? I just really want to understand. He didn't say anything. I told him I appreciated the gesture, but I could not for the life of me figure out how he thought planning this in the way he did was going to help get us out of a rut. This isn't the first time he's planned something for me that I hated. And the worst thing, I've told him before, if I've never expressed interest in something, to please not gift it to me or plan a date around it. I do a very good job at giving him extremely thoughtful gifts and planning him very thoughtful dates, experiences. And today I told him that it just seems like there isn't any consideration for me in that regard. Am I the asshole for reacting the way that I did? What is your opinion of this?
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a tough one, I guess, because it is like if you did something for me and I hated whatever the thing was, I would still just because you were attempting to like do something nice, like I wouldn't be mean to you about it and I would just do whatever the thing is for your sake. So, I mean, I feel like she is kind of an asshole, but.
So here's my take on it, because I do get both perspectives, except I feel like she's handling this like a fucking child. Like he is making a big effort to be alone with her and give them the time and space to work on their relationship. Maybe, you know, they have trouble like having sex because of time or this or that, or they just need to have some big conversations and never have the space to do it. And then I need physical space. Go outside, bitch. You're in the fucking woods. Secondly, yes, she's out there without a toothbrush or this or that. He should have packed that for her. If he really wanted to spring it on her, that would have been smart. I could see you not doing that, though.
Yeah.
But is she being an asshole? 100%.
All right. Next, we got... Am I the asshole for refusing to validate my wife's irrational fears?
So this one says, my wife and I have been together for over 10 years, and when we're driving together and I'm behind the wheel, sometimes she'll shout, slow down, out of nowhere, and then say, why are you driving so fast? In a critical tone, as if the way I'm driving is obviously unsafe. Usually I bite my tongue and slow down to placate her, but the thing is, the way that I drive is not unsafe. Driving since 97, never got a ticket or in an accident. My wife is generally a good driver, but much less experienced than me in snow and on gravel roads. And by her own admission, she has some lingering driving-related trauma. Yesterday, she came home and told me that her car was making a rattling noise when she drove over bumps. We got into the car and I started driving down our driveway, which has plenty of bumps to hit. It's gravel and long. And I was driving slightly faster than usual to hit them hard to try to produce the sound she was talking about. Suddenly, my wife yelled, slow down. Why are you driving so fast? I glanced at the speedometer and laughed, didn't slow down, shook my head and said something like, are you serious? What are you afraid of? Her response was, I'm afraid we'll skid out and go flying off a cliff. Since that was physically impossible, we were going 25 kilometers per hour or 15 and a half miles per hour, and there was no cliff in sight. Let me remind you, we were in our driveway, the same one that we've been driving up and down for the past 5 years. I think I laughed and said words to the effect that she was being irrational. Predictably, she got mad at me for not validating her feelings, and I told her I wasn't going to validate her irrational fear. She didn't ask me to let her out, so I kept driving and we survived the trip from the house to the road. Then we drove around for a while listening to the car before going home, where my wife sulked for the rest of the evening. We argue very rarely, but today the driving thing came up. Again, I refused to validate her irrational fear. We both got as worked up as we ever do. We're pretty calm people, but voices were raised. I told her how it annoys me when she yells at me to slow down, that it's insulting, that her fear is like being afraid of monsters under the bed, and that maybe she needs therapy to get over it. She said I'm the one with the problem because I get annoyed when she yells at me in the car, and maybe I need therapy to work on ways to not be so annoyed by it, and that I should simply do what she says in order to validate her feelings. the way you do for someone you love, quote. Eventually, we decided to end the discussion for the night because I wasn't going anywhere positive. It wasn't going anywhere positive. She did her thing and I made a Reddit account to ask this question. Am I the asshole?
Yeah. So yeah, this one's hard. I'll go at this one from a couple angles. So I feel like most people would agree that he should validate how she feels. Okay. But let's imagine for that you're a mom and you have a kid and the kid is 10 years old and you got to drive the kid to school. And every time you put the kid in the car, the kid is freaking out, thinking that it's the end and, you know, something bad's going to happen. I can't get in the car. I can't get da 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 for whatever reason. Kid just freaks out every time you get in the car. So I feel like most people would say, yes, you need to validate and rational or, you know, validate how she feels and whatever. Yet, I feel like if they were in the situation with their own kid, they would probably just be like, get in the car, be quiet, you got to go to school, and they wouldn't follow their own advice.
I'm not sure if I'm following, but with this example that you're giving, so I would imagine that it's like, if you have a person in the car that's like, stop, oh, and being like alarming about it, that's disruptive to the driver. I know that I've been like that. But there's ways to handle this, like turning to her and being like, you're being fucking irrational is not the answer, you know?
Well, yeah, because it is, because what happens with me a lot of times is I'll just be driving and then you'll be like, ah, blah, and you'll like start screaming. And then in my brain, I'm like fucking running over a kid or something. So I'll like slam on the brake and be like, what? And then you'll be like, there's that car in front of us. And the car is like a fucking mile in front. I'll be like, oh my God. All right. The last one we got is, am I the asshole for moving on so quickly after my husband left me?
Oh, yes. So this one says, my 47 female husband, 47 male, asked for a separation on our 14th anniversary while we were away in a foreign country to celebrate. While we weren't as close as we used to be, we almost never fought and generally enjoyed each other's company and families. We do not have any children. The night before our anniversary, he brought up that he wasn't very happy in the relationship but didn't know why. The next morning, I asked to see his phone and he said no. He said I would find, quote, flirty messages with one or more women on it. He had made some female friends through school and work, and he said he felt like there might be someone out there who was a better fit for him. I said I did not want to do a trial separation, as I don't believe you can work on something if you aren't living together. If he wanted to separate, it would be final. He understood, but said it was something that he had to do. After being away for only 2 days, we rebooked our flights home, flew home, and he packed some belongings and left. 7 days later, he asked to come home, and we started marriage counseling. He had a lot of trouble admitting he had at least one emotional affair. The counseling was not helpful. He was defensive and not open to it. I suspect something physical happened with the other woman, but I do not have any proof. He had deleted all of his flirty texts, Snapchat, etc., so I could not see them. After 4 weeks of living together again and attending counseling sessions, he decided he no longer wanted to try to save the marriage and he was leaving. He packed up and left a few hours later. He stayed with a friend, found a new apartment, and signed a 1-year lease. I was devastated and even had to take time off of work to process what had happened and attend individual counseling. After about 4 weeks, I started to feel a bit better. I went out for drinks with a group of 4 coworkers that live in my area and found I really enjoyed one of them, 42 male, a lot. I had only met him over Zoom before this. We started seeing each other a couple times a week. Quite quickly, it grew into a truly amazing, loving relationship. I've stayed in counseling throughout as it wasn't easy to process the sudden ending of my long-term marriage at the same time as beginning something new. It's been about 7 months now. My ex-husband eventually decided he wanted to try to save the marriage again, but I declined. He says, I'm the asshole for starting a new relationship so quickly within 6 weeks of him leaving. Our relationship was over as I can no longer trust him and he has hurt me immensely. I do not want a relationship with someone I cannot trust. Am I the asshole for moving on?
No, what?
So, sorry, Charlie. How long were you fucking expecting her to sit there and wait for you to work out the kinks in your own shit and go fuck around enough to
satisfy
yourself?
She made it clear, didn't one of them say like they didn't want to do a trial type
she
thing?
Said.
Yeah, like if you leave, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeded to leave, so.
And she said.
That's like.
He said that he understood that and moved forward.
If like, there's just no, it's a no-brainer. There's nothing to even dispute. Like, she made the terms clear. If you leave, there's not going to be anything. He then verbally agreed and said, okay. And now he's acting like she broke some contract. No, you made an agreement and it played out exactly as the agreement should have played out.
It sounds like he was just probably just talking to most of those girls and having like a fuck buddy thing, maybe with one that he knew wasn't going to go anywhere. Then tried to have relationships and they didn't work out. And then he's just like, oh, she'll be there. Like, she's not going to just.
Well, it's a typical grass is greener thing. Yes. Like, everybody always thinks the grass is greener over with somebody else. And then they go over there and they realize it's not as good as they thought it was going to be. And they want to go back. But it's like, you should know that before. Like,
yeah, get out of here.
Obviously, that's how it's going to play out.